You wouldn't think that there was a God. If he did, you wouldn't be getting on your knees and asking him for a miracle that nobody else could give you. God loves you in here today. God cares about what you're going through. And there's times where we go through hardship or we go through hard seasons and we want to get mad at God. We want to question God. But let me tell you something. There is a purpose for what you've gone through. There's a purpose for what you're going through right now. And I tell you in the most humblest way that I can, do not get mad at God. Yield to God. Yield to him. And there is a purpose for the hardship. In verse 8, it says, we are hard pressed on every side. There's times in your life where you feel on every single side that it's hard. That it's hard. Nothing is coming easy. I want to talk to the person in here right now where you're saying nothing is coming easy for me right now. It's every time I turn around, there's something going on. There's a struggle. Lord, why am I in this season where it's not easy? Look here. The Word of God told you in this life you would have trials and you would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. We are hard pressed on every side. It's high time that the believer said, I'm hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Yeah, I may be going through it right now, but by golly, God has still made me to be able to stand. I am hard pressed on every side, but I am not crushed. Can you see in your life where God is not allowing you to be taken over by what's going on? Now, let me tell you something. Your feelings are not facts, and you're going to have days where you feel like you are crushed, and your spirit may be crushed, but you are not crushed. And you've got to have that faith inside of you that says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. It's time that you begin to pray these verses that I'm about to read over your life. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I feel hard-pressed on every side. God, ain't nothing going right. But Lord, you are still exactly who you said that you were. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am not crushed. And you begin to speak over your life. Angel, it's important we speak. I am not crushed. I am not crushed. When it hurts the most, you got to say that. Amen. The devil wants you to feel crushed. And I'm going to tell you something, you're not. But you will be hard pressed. And when you are hard pressed, you need to count it all stinking joy. Don't ever wonder why I'm crazy. Because let me tell you something. God saves the crazies for the ministry. I just tell you that. Because I'm just crazy enough to stick with this. I need the sound boys to turn on the fans. Now I'm going to give you some TMI. When you're a woman and you get older, stuff happens and you get hot, then you get cold. You get moody, then you get ice cold again. I mean, you know, just things happen. Y'all going to have to bear with me for probably like the next 10 years. I don't know when that passes, but God, me and Frank are praying to God it passes soon. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Somebody say persecuted. Stop getting all upset when you're talked about. That's right, Marianne. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. The Word of God is living and it's active. And because it's living and it's active, when you plant it in your heart, it begins to grow. And when you go through things in your life and trouble comes, the part of the Word that you placed in your heart and that you planted in your heart, that part of the Word that you planted there, it goes to the trouble. But if you've got no Word up inside of you, you may think that you are crushed and you may be duped by the devil. And stay down. But I've read you today. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's time that we take Jesus and we have Him all throughout the week with us. Jesus is not just a Sunday morning thing. The other day, Saturday or Friday, I walked into our living room, and here's my Catholic husband. Can Catholics feel God? Yes, they can. Amen. This is an interdenominational church, I will remind you. Why is that? Because we ain't into discriminating and doing the That's denominational
right.
business.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not against it. I accept them all. Yep. I am not hung up over denomination. I'm hung up over Jesus. And I don't care what gets you into heaven as long as you're there.
That's right.
And that's why I don't go over all of that. I walk out, my little sweet Catholic husband's there, and he's got praise and worship music on, and he's got the videos to it, and he's just weeping.
Amen.
You need to have God up inside of there, up in your home with you, up in your trials with you, up in the despair with you, up in the hurt part of you, up in the broken part of you, because what you're going through, it has a purpose. The devil wants to make you feel like it's all for nothing and that it's one more thing that's going to keep you down. It's not keeping you down. It's elevating you to the very top of who you're supposed to be. But the devil will disguise those things and bring you down and try to keep you down. I see people and you're spending hours on your couches. You're spending hours in your home because you don't even have the mental capacity to get up and just do one step. I want to speak to that person this morning and I want to tell you that your life is going to be okay, but what you got to do is the same thing God told me to do about 6 years ago. Kelly, just get off the couch today. Just do it for today. You don't think that I know about depression? I know about depression because I've had it wash over me. That's how I can preach about it. And I want to talk to that person today where you're saying, God, it's just heavy on me. I'm talking to that person today. This ain't even a part of the message. I don't know where we're going with it, but we're going to go with the ghost. Go with me right now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're there already, but go to verse 16, and we're going to read 16 through 18. These are life verses. These are the verses to build your life on. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I'm ministering today to that person and you're just on the edge of losing heart. I'm speaking to you today. God is speaking to you today and He's saying, therefore, don't lose heart. Therefore, you've got to make the decision that come hell and then hell's coming. High water will come. But through all of it, you're not losing heart. Why? Because greater is He that's inside of you than he that's in the world. If God is for you, who can be against you? It's time that we latch on to the things that we know and we make them come alive inside of us again. When somebody tells you Jesus loves you, you need to say, man, I'm going to stop all this nonsense of feeling sorry for myself because God really does love me. And if He loves me, man, I don't need to be messed up over who don't love me. I just got to be messed up over the one that really does. You know, God loves you, and not only does He love you, but He made you and He knows more about you than you could ever know about yourself. And if you'll trust Him, He will help you make something out of the mess. some of the mess we create and some of it others created for us. But nonetheless, some of us got messes in our life, and God's going to get us through them. And so it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Verse 17 is very, very important for your life. For our light and momentary troubles. Now, the devil is very good at making you feel like the troubles are not light and they are not momentary. But I am reading right out of the Word of God. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us in eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm talking to the person in here, and you're asking God, Lord, when am I going to get through this? When is this going to be over? Look here. Not one more moment will it stay than it's supposed to. Not one second. God has never been late in your life. In the hardship that you've gone through, the hardship that maybe you're going through right now, it has a purpose. It has a place in your life. If God is allowing you to go through it, He wants to show up in that for you. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Is He your Savior? Bobby, what does Savior mean? He saves. Over and over. He never stops. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Some of us are having trouble in here today because we have fixed our eyes on people and situations and things. And God is saying, stop fixing your eyes on those things and fix them on me. Amen. Stop looking at what is right in front of your face, because whatever's in front of your face ain't really what it is. We got to start looking at things like it's Facebook. Ain't none of that real? I don't care what you say. And I don't care how cute your pictures are. You probably had a big, fat family argument after you had that picture taken. Probably went home with your husband, didn't speak to him the rest of the night. You threatened your kids with bodily harm. You kicked the dog, and you didn't fix no supper. It's all fake. Okay? Let's keep this real. Those troubles are light and momentary. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on God. I can't stress that enough to you. Fix your eyes on God, because the devil is trying to compete with God, and God, the devil can't compete with God, but he's trying to. What is he competing for? Your attention. Your attention. You don't need to give the devil any more your attention. You're going to glorify God, or you're going to glorify your problem, and that's the choice that you're going to make every single day. And it is a choice. And sometimes it is a hard choice. Because these problems are hard. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you could move the curtain of what's really going on in your life right now, and what's really going on and what God's really doing, you wouldn't even believe it. There's things that's going on that's in the works for you, and they're unseen right now. But they are already a done deal. They are already a done deal, Brother Mike. We cannot see them right now, but they're already done. And you can take that to the bank. Don't get messed up over the things that you can't see. Start saying, God, all I want to see is you. God, all I want to see is you. Lord, I'm going to stop looking at the problem. God, I'm going to stop looking at the medical report. God, I'm going to stop looking at the bank statement. Lord, right now, saturate my heart, God, with who you are. Lord, right now, grow my faith, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, minister to me. God, saturate me with who you are. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, you do not change, and God, your word doesn't change. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I'm going to stand in faith, and I'm not going to live in fear. Right now, in Jesus' name, God, if I wasn't supposed to be going through this, you would not have allowed it. God's got a purpose for you. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen, listen to me, church, for what is seen is temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. Too many Christians are messed up over something that's not permanent. But because we've been in it for a while, we're getting disheartened. You don't have time for that, and you can't afford to do that right now. You got to be in that state where you're fixed your eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is getting you through. On what is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start at verse 3. There was a man named Jacob, and he had an encounter. And after this encounter, God gave him a new name, and that new name was Israel. And so in the Bible, what has happened many times is the Bible will, like in verse 1, it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, and blah, blah, blah. And then in the next few verses, it goes down and it starts talking about somebody named Israel. And here's what you need to do. When you read the Bible and something isn't adding up, you need to say, who was Israel? Well, Israel was Jacob after God gave him a different name. If you will ask God to open up the folds of your heart to help you to process and understand the Word better, God wants to make the Word come alive in you. So I'm going to minister to you today on Joseph. Now Israel, we're talking about Jacob, and Jacob was Joseph's father. How many of you, when you were little, you heard the story about Joseph in the coat of many colors? Amen. Okay, well here's what I've learned, Miss Barbara. Ain't everybody was raised in church. So when I preach, I don't assume everybody knows about him. That's why we're getting the backstory. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. So we have a dad, and this is in a documented account that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. How many of you know what that caused? Jealousy. How many of you have ever been jealous of somebody in your family? All right, I'm glad we got some honest folks up in here. I've always been jealous of Casey. I mean, she gets to do all the singing, pretty teeth, all of it. I told God, I want to live up in heaven by the sweet tea fountain. I want my teeth to be glow in the dark, and I want to be able to sing. And I got none of that talent. But God did give me a mouth, and I can talk. Here I am. So Joseph, he was loved by his father more than any of the other sons. That always is going to cause a problem. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. He made him a coat of many colors. This was really, symbolically, this was a coat of favor. The kid was favored with his father more than anybody else. And that's really what it amounted to. When he wore that coat, that showed everybody, Daddy loves him more than he loves us. That's what it really was. And so when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. and could not speak a kind word to him. And Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I've had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down." And here's what he said. "Big brothers, I've got my coat on. Daddy loves me more than he loves you. And I had a dream, which was really a vision of what was prophetically going to happen years down the road after the hardship that Joseph had to go through, because it was a destined thing. The hardship was for a purpose in his life." And he said, "I had a dream, and there were sheaves of grain. And in this dream and in this vision, my sheaf of grain, it stood up. And that was my sheaf. And all of y'all were bowing down. Your little sheaves were bowing down to me." Well, they already hated him, so that didn't go over real good. So then he goes on, like any little brother would. How many of you have had a little sibling? They're terrible, aren't they? I can say that because I'm the baby of the family, and I got away with a lot of stuff. Casey got a lot of whoopings on my account. She grew up here, and don't you touch that baby. Let me tell you, she put her hands on me. She beat me relentlessly. But I love my sister, and she is one of the people I admire most. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And then he had another dream. And he told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream." This kid didn't know when to stop. He says, "I had another dream. And this time, the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, after this, so we have the coat of many colors. We have these two dreams that we see were actually prophetically, it was a prophetic vision, and these things in the really happened. So Joseph was out. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. And then from slavery, he got sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife said that Joseph was trying to sleep with her. She really wasn't. She was actually trying to sleep with Joseph, and he wouldn't do it. See, there's scandal all up in the world. It's still here. There's nothing new under the sun. People was always trying to sleep with somebody. And if that offends you, then don't act like you're a saint in here, because I know that we've all heard worse than that. So I'm not going to tiptoe around what the Bible just said to us, okay? So that was what happened with Potiphar. Then he went to prison. But he had a lot of favor in prison, so then he went from the prison to Pharaoh's palace, and then he became in charge of the palace. So he had a lot of struggling. Go with me to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to start at verse 1. So there was a famine, and his brothers had to travel a very long way to the palace, and they thought their little brother was long gone, but he wasn't. God put him in charge of the palace, but he had to go through some things to get to that place of high standing. And I'm going to tell you, in your life, you're going to be at some very bad lows. But the Word of God, it says in His Word that every valley will be raised up. And if you will stay faithful to God, I promise you He's going to stay faithful to you. But God is looking for faithful. He's looking for faithful. So here they are, and the brothers have traveled a very long way, and they're asking for food. And it says, then Joseph, here we are, we're in the palace. Here's Joseph. They don't know that this is Joseph. He's got all these brothers that were mean to him, hated his guts. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard all about it. In verse 3, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Can you imagine doing all that bad stuff to your little brother and then he's in charge of whether or not you're going to live or die? Imagine going through all that stuff. Some of us have been through a lot of stuff. How many of you, you want to live your life not only just as a saved person and a believer, but you want to be classy. Amen. Cece, let me tell you something. I am a hot-blooded Italian, and there are times where I just want to not wear any pastor t-shirt, and I want to get down with somebody. Hallelujah. Right where they at, and not in a good way. Now, my mother is one of the godliest, she's probably the godliest woman I know, but she's also a very ladylike person, and she raised us, tried her best to raise us as ladylike as she could get us. Now, the problem was is that I was always a mess, and I was always a tomboy, so she had a lot of trouble doing that. But any nice part of me, it came from Mildred. And when I get in these type of mind frames, Brother Mike, I have trained myself, Rocky, to ask myself one question, and here's what it is. Would a classy woman go there? And 100% of the time, I tell myself, Kelly, you're going to have class or you're going to have sass, but sometimes you can't have them both. How important is it to you that you stay who God wants you to be when it's hard? I'm just glad that I wasn't Joseph, because I'd have been like, you guys are all dying. I'm offended. You're getting it. And in the worst way. Where's the death penalty here? What are we doing in this day and age? Because y'all's getting it, all 11 of you. I mean, you're dead. But he said, I am Joseph. I have learned to take everything in the Word of God and process it and digest it. Even the punctuation. Here his brothers are. You know, the Word of God says that in the last days the members of your enemies will be even the members of your own household. You need to keep that in check. He could have said anything. But he says, I am Joseph. Exclamation point. Casey, what does an exclamation point mean? Excited. After all he had been through, he was still excited to be who he was. After everything that he had been through, he was still excited of the person that God made him. Why? Because the very people that were awful to him, he was fixing to get an opportunity to turn the other cheek. And I'm going to tell you, there is hardly anything else more important than life than to turn that cheek and do something good to somebody that's been awful to you. And it says, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Look here, when you get through some of the things that other people put you through, they're going to be horrified of you sometimes. And what you need to do is not rub it in their face how awful that they were, but you need to be a classy person and you need to be a saved person. They were terrified of him. And it says, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. He got them all together. He said, I'm your brother, the ones that you guys were awful to. And don't be mad at yourself for all the bad things that you did to me. Now that takes a lot of class. That takes a lot of character. He knew exactly who he was. And the problem is the modern day believer, by the time they even go through a little tussle with anything, they don't even know who they are. And most of them, I don't even know if God's still real because he let me go through this. Well, you need to grow up. If you're questioning whether God's real every time you go through a little bump in the road, honey, you ain't saved. Now, people ain't going to like the pastor saying you ain't saved, but let me tell you something. When you get saved on your worst day, there's some things that you may be doubting, but God ain't one of them. He says, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. God sent me ahead of you, and it was to save a lot of lives. Don't be mad at yourself. He was telling his big brothers, God had a purpose for what you put me through. Your hardship has had a purpose. And if you're going through it right now, it has a purpose. And I promise you, it also has an expiration date. Okay. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. How would you feel if God allowed you to go through hardship to preserve the very people that put you there? Everything that you've gone through had a person attached to it, right or wrong. That's why we got to get this stuff right. God will keep you, or God wants to keep you on the side of righteous, and the devil wants to keep you bitter at God and everybody else. But your hardship, it's got a purpose. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. That's how insightful that Joseph was. Was it his brother's doing? In a way. But greater than it was the brothers doing all the wrong things to him and all the things that he was accused of and all the things that happened to him. At the end of the day, Joseph realized the greater cause was because Christ had a mission for him. And it was to preserve the very people that were awful to him. But not just them, everybody.
Amen.
And see, would that be okay with you? God wants to build character in the hearts of his kids. And there's hardship that we go through. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God, he made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all that you have, I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 50. The other Friday, I was having lunch with Dad, and God has been working on me. And he's had to work on me a lot because I don't catch on real quick at all. And he was giving me a hard time. I had a boss in my life at one point in time that I really, really loved. But she was a jerk. And you know, let me tell you, I was a jerk too. And he was making fun of me and he goes, do you remember that one time that you couldn't forgive so-and-so and it took you a long time? Let me tell you, folks, it took me 3 years. Anybody else hard-headed where you're going to hold that grudge and you don't care? If you even got a passed-up blessing, you're going to keep that grudge because you hate their guts. Billy, I love you because you're just... Billy's raising you up. Thank you, Billy. And he was telling me, Kelly, be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And say, God... has been ministering to me for the past few years. Kelly, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. And here's what I want to tell you. There's things that have gone on in my life, and there's things that's gone on in your life. And we know, and I know, and you know, that there was no other way. God, it was a God thing, and yeah, they were hard. But you knew they were necessary for your life. But on your bad days, you get angry about those things still. Don't get mad at the God-ordained hardship in your life. You would not be where you are, without it. On my bad days, there are times where, Moni, I get angry still at some of the hard things that I have had to go through. But here's what I know. I would not be who I am today. I would not be the pastor that I am today. I would not be the saved person that I am today without those things. Those hardships were necessary for my salvation. And when we recognize the hardship in our life that God allowed us to go through, I encourage you to not be mad about it, but to be like Joseph and see, God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, to help you. On your bad day, can you look at your hardship and can you see that God is going to work it for your good? And not only is he going to work it for your good, but he's going to work it for the good of other people. And not only is he going to work it for the good of other people, but he's probably going to work it for the good of the people that you don't care for. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to work it for the good of people that have been mean to you, that haven't been good to you, that have hurt you. Will you let Him do it? Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. Now Joseph's father has died. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to themselves, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all of the wrongs that we did to him?" Joseph was too good to hold the grudge. And that's why he was so blessed. That's why he was so favored. That's why he was elevated to the very top. Is because at the end of the day, he had too much integrity to hold the grudge. And his brothers, here they are whispering, "Is he going to kill us? What if he holds that grudge now that Dad's dead?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs that they committed in treating you so badly. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs that they committed in treating you so badly." I believe God is saying that to people here today. I believe that God is saying that to people online watching. And I'm going to read that one more time because I believe God is saying that to people. God is asking you to forgive your brothers and your sisters the sins and the wrong they committed in treating you so badly. Well, Pastor Kelly, you don't know what they did. God does. God does. And He's trying to find a way to get them in heaven. He needs you to be who you are. And if that's somebody that's really hard for you to be, you need to ask Him, "God, give me more character. God, give me more integrity. God, give me more love. Lord, when I don't have the love for that person, God, pour it into me." "Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." And when their message came to Joseph, he wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. Now, at the beginning of Joseph's hardships, they sold him as a slave. And you fast forward to all of the hardship, and here are the very people that caused the hardship, and they are bowing down. And what are they saying? "We are your slaves." See, nobody gets away with anything. God will put them in their place, and that's why you don't need to. God will put them in their place, and that's why you don't need to. I'm going to say it one more time. God will put them in their place, and that's why you don't need to. And if you will fight that urge to do that, God will fight for you. But if you won't stop, you're going to cause God to have to deal with you. A couple years ago, my son Carson, who I love, we were giving out food. And you know what? It's hard to be a pastor's kid because everybody's got unrealistic expectations of the preacher's kid. Let me tell you, I know because I've lived it. And we were giving out food and we had done it all day. And I stopped him right there and I said, "Carson, put your hands up." And I put my hands on him and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you will always be in the position to give because the Word of God says that it is better to give than it is to receive. And I speak that over your life right now. And you know what? God is going to honor that prophecy that I prophesied to my son, because you know what, Brenda babe? There's been times where I did not get up, down, and dirty with people. I fed them instead. I know what it's like to feed my enemies. And it is very joyful for me to do it. Because, Tanya, every time I do, I get a little bit more power and I get a little bit more anointing. And the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage over people's life. You don't want a pastor with no power and working in their life and moving in their life. And I love Joseph because, man, Joseph was one of the classiest people to meet in the Bible. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." What was he really saying? "I'm not going to retaliate against you. I'm not going to do to you what you did to me. I'm not making you a slave. You're a free person because of me, brothers." And then he asked them a very important question. And God is asking you today, am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? When you're looking at your life and you're feeling sorry for yourself because of all the hard things that you've had to go through, maybe you're going through something hard right now, I want you to ask yourself, am I not literally in the palm of His hand? Am I not in the place of God? Sometimes we feel like God's mad at us because we're in a hard place. God is not mad at us when we're in a hard place. He still has us in the palm of His hand. Am I not in the place of God? What he was saying was, am I not where God wanted me the whole time? It was the hardship that got him where he was supposed to be. Where was he supposed to be? At the very top. Why? Because he had the integrity to be there. Because he had the integrity to be there. Some people, they're wondering why they're still at the pecking order with the chickens and why they end up here. Look at your integrity. What are you doing when nobody's looking? I would stuff integrity in every crack and crevice that you have. How many of you ever seen somebody and they got in one of them little tubes and they shot money everywhere and you could have as much money as you stuffed up in yourself? I would do that with integrity. As much integrity as you can put into your life, put it there. Why? Because God will always elevate the person with integrity. If you can't turn your cheek, God ain't turning you and raising you. Okay? Yes, I'm going to wrap it up. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. God intended it for good to accomplish what's now going on. If you could see where God's going to take you and move you, you would count it all joy for what you're going through and what you've gone through. If you're sitting in your seat today and you're saying in your heart of hearts, God, help me to count it joy. Help me to count it joy. Help me to count it joy. Sometimes we can look at our present suffering in the wrong way. Your suffering is a blessing because it is taking you places where you could never go without it. But you're saying, God, help me to count it joy. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Lord God, in Jesus' name, y'all put your hand over your heart right now. Sometimes what we need is just God to change some things up in there. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now to change hearts. I ask you right now to soften hearts. God, I ask you right now to grow some hearts. And Lord, I thank you that you're helping us to count it all joy. Lord, when we suffer, and it's a part of your purpose, Lord, give us the wisdom to tell you thank you. God, that's not easy to do. God, it's not easy to do. Help us to count it all joy right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over the congregation. God, I thank you right now that there are blessed people. I call them blessed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I call them whole right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak to their families right now, and I say that their family dynamics are improving right now. I speak to health in this place, and I speak clean bills of health right now. I speak to mental health right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to depression, and I tell it that it has to go right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word today. God, I ask that you'd help us to live it out. Help us to be doers, God, of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be preaching tonight. I hope you guys come 5:30. We do have food in the back.